What's going on, all you podcasters? Stone Cold Steve Austin coming at you. Reminding you to check out this kick-ass event going down Friday, March the 16th. For those of you who don't know off the top of your head, that's 316. Some numbers that mean a whole damn lot to Stone Cold Steve Austin. What we got going on is the Four Heads Brewery is going to be presenting Citywide Sounds Rock Paper Podcast Edition, and it's going down at the Old Rock House. Right there, you're going to see the Hillary Fitz Band. What? The Cara Louise Band. What? And Nick Gussman. They're going to be performing. Tickets are only $7, and $1 each of those tickets are going to the Citywide Charities. So get off your asses Friday night if you ain't doing nothing and head down to the Old Rock House for some kick-ass rock and roll and little rock paper podcast hosted by my buddy Shane Presley. And that's the bottom line, because I said so.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide, where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out FreddieDeAngelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, FreddieDeAngelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Jason Nelson, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Jason Nelson.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to the show, man.
It's great to be here. Thanks for coming back out and letting me share a podcast with you again.
Yeah, this third appearance, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I think we did two Moon Bandits ones.
Correct.
And now kind of tap into some of the other projects you're a part of as well. And
thank you.
Yeah, man. Since the last time we spoke, you were since been a cover model for the Riverfront Times and like that was pretty awesome.
That was a bigger surprise to me more than anybody.
Yeah.
Thomas Crone, the proprietor of the TikTok Tavern on Magnolia, he had this idea. I'm going to focus on a story that just tells the story of tributes in St. Louis. As of going on 5 years now, St. Louis has become a tribute-fascinated town.
Mm-hmm.
So, you name it. Anything you want, we can do it.
Right.
From Tom Petty to Pink Floyd to, gosh, everything in between. So, he had a photographer come out to a Jason Nelson Band show, and it was like so relaxed and everybody's having a great time. He had us pose for a couple shots, but nothing that was overtly like, okay, this is going to be a big deal. And then the following week, it hit the stands and we were on the cover.
Yeah.
And my friends in town were like, oh my gosh, look at you. What did you have to do to get on the cover?
Yeah.
I said, what? And I didn't believe it myself. I had to actually go on to the website, and there it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I work at Oyster Bar, and there's a stand there for the RFT, and like it was really exciting for me to pick up a copy and see my friends on there. So
damn.
Yeah. but it was very cool. So, but yeah, like you're saying, all the tributes definitely come to life. I know, obviously El Monstero's been doing it, 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's like a lot of like a kind of a resurgence. There's a bunch of newer, you know, projects right. taking off. And you've been a part of a few of these now. And
gosh, I mean, it started with Fishbone.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to Bad Brains. Then it went to Queen. In Excess. Now REM. Coming up, Faith No More, Mr. Bungle. Like, everything that encompassed my childhood, my formative years of listening to music, I'm doing tribute shows to.
Yeah.
It's a great time. Like, I was just telling you, I gotta have fun with everything I do, or I don't want to waste my time doing it. And everybody around me, like those bands, I work with different musicians in every project. So I'm touched by 35 different people, which is a great opportunity for me because not only do I do tribute bands, but I have cover groups that consistently play every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So if a guitar player cannot unfortunately make it because they may be double booked, I call another friend and say, come on, join me.
Yeah.
Or a drummer or bass player or, you know, it's...
Why are you doing that? I don't know why this is making noises. Leave me alone.
Is there interference?
I don't know. Can you hear it? I can hear it. In the...
No.
It keeps trying to... I don't know. Anyway, I'll clean that up.
Is there anything that I can do?
No, it's something. Was some pop up thing was happening.
Oh.
Give me some tips. I'm like,
not right now.
Leave me alone.
Ignore.
Yeah. So you're saying you got all these bands were a pretty big part of your formative years, growing up and listening to all these things. Let's talk about that. Like, I guess grew up here in St. Louis, always?
I was in the area? I was a kid of Parkway Central.
Yeah.
And graduated in 93. And at that time, I had friends around town. So the Parkway system, you know, you've got west and north and south. And so I knew musicians from all those places, but I also knew CBC, Slew High, people from working at the Muni Opera. I was a lemonade vendor in high school every summer.
Yeah.
Great job. I think if you're into performance and you're a high school kid, that's the best place to be. So fun.
Yeah.
But I left Parkway Central, graduated in 93, went to Merrimack Junior College that same year, and joined a band, a funk band, called What Is. And then shortly thereafter, answered an ad in the back of a music publication in St. Louis called The Spotlight to audition for MU330. And I got that gig on the audition. And the next day, I jumped in a van with those guys and a Walkman and learned the songs on the way to the show. And was with that group for 3 years.
Yeah.
I did a lot of living.
Right.
In a 3 year time span.
But so I know the name. I don't know if I know a whole lot about ME330, but I know they were pretty huge at the time.
Early to mid 90s, they released I think it was 92, an album called Press. And Press had a single that The Point, 105.7, when they hit the airwaves in 93, they really embraced Hoosier Love.
Right.
The song Hoosier Love on that album and just pushed it. And that was a really high time for alternative music and ska and punk rock. And bands in town in St. Louis at that time, Neptune Crush and The Urge and U330 and just so many groups had the inclination to release a full-length album and then support it by going out and touring, knowing darn well that they don't have any financial means to, you know, stabilize that life. They just went from town to town,
right,
on nothing. We would have a guaranteed of $500. And we would drive 5 hours, play the show, and then limp back home. And we didn't care. We were all like 18, 19.
Right.
We're like, okay, well, we're going to Omaha. And then we'll stop at Lawrence, Kansas, and we'll come home. That was a weekend.
Yeah.
If we made anything, we were thrilled.
It seems like... those bands, you know, I mentioned The Urge and all this, like, got a lot of success and a lot to do with local radio, having the point, pushing those songs. It seemed like at that time, local music was a big part of their daily playlist, you know.
Right.
Like, and now our local music is consists of 1 hour on a Sunday night.
Right.
And
Cornbread.
Yeah.
Has maintained that. Bless his heart, man.
Yeah.
He does that showcase, and it's been everlasting.
Yeah.
Knock on wood. Let's keep it going. But
right. But I just feel like, I mean, you know, that it definitely helps.
Well, what you're doing is essential.
Yeah.
Well, local you. Artists need the platform. And everything, as you well know, has gone online.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can easily access. They can search, find specifically what they want to hear and what they want to see.
Right.
Where with terrestrial radio, yeah, you've got, okay, KC95, HD1, 2, and 3. Same format, same songs, three different stations. They're showcasing, you know, that classic rock platform. 105.7, The Point. They have a model that's been working for them, but like you said, they'll do the occasional special event with a local artist and play their material sparingly, centered around that special event.
Right.
But primarily Sunday nights, that's local.
Sure.
I don't know why anymore. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, all at the same time, they were also doing those Point Essentials records, the collections and stuff, and those got a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And got a lot of people hearing a lot of their variety of local music and stuff. And like, so I mean, I think like that was just such a powerful thing at the time. I mean, all those bands went on to a lot of success in the area for the most part. I mean,
Gravity Kills,
yeah,
and you name it, they.
Right.
Point. I was on Point Essential 1 and 3.
Right.
And that had legs. People, like, they came to the shows.
Sure.
And they bought those discs at record stores.
Yeah. I just bought one not too long ago from CD Warehouse over there.
Hey, Sophia. Stop.
Went over there and bought one from Walter at CD Warehouse a little bit ago. I forget which number it was, but I've been trying to go through and collect them and stuff, and
yeah.
So trying to get all of them.
How many do they have? 11?
Something like that, maybe. I'm not positive, but
it was a good run.
Yeah,
I guess all good things must come to an end.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'd love to do something. I mean, I've talked about it a lot in the show, but I'd love to do something like that, like
right.
With all my friends and like trying to put out collections and
talking with it's funny because that has been on people's minds as of late, and talking with my friend Chuck Wren at the Duck Room the other night, who's from Chicago, compilation discs are making a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
But the compilation discs in his ska scene in reggae, they're putting like 100, 150 songs on this three-disc set.
Huh.
And this compilation is massive globally. Bands from all over the world. But in his opinion, six songs are worth listening to.
All right.
Horrible! So that puts everyone in a compromising position. They're like, okay, these are three discs. Production, distribution, that's not free.
Right.
But a good 15 songs, 20 songs on one disc, first pressing of 1,000. Have a party, $10.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Right.
If it takes off, great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Papa Ray at Vintage would put them on the shelf, you know? Come on. Yeah, anyway.
Definitely. So you said MU330, you were doing that for 3 years, you said? Mm-hmm. And, what about after that? Like, when did you first, like, kind of start discovering this tribute and stuff like where? Did you say it started with Bad Brains? Was that the first tribute?
The first tribute show that I was a part of was put together by Dwight Carter at Brainchild Events.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight, kind of reversing and backing up a bit, in 1997, I came off the road with MU, and then I joined a band called Orange Tree.
Right.
And was with them for 4 years, I think. Released two albums. And Dwight Carter stepped into a kind of a management role with Orange Tree. So we'd known each other for years. And that group, we all went our separate ways in like 2001. But we all stayed in touch. You know, it was, again, a decision that each individual member was like, okay, this may be it. It was a good run. Let's try something different. And I started a punk band called Better Half. Then I got into the cover band scene in 2003 with Hollywood Five and had a 12-year run in the cover band circuit. And then left Hollywood 5 3 years ago. 2015 was a big year for me. Started the Jason Nelson Band. These are cover bands.
Mm-hmm.
The Whackness, 90s tribute band. I joined 120 Minutes, classic alternative cover band. And then Dwight contacted me, Kevin Griffin from Boomtown United, Matt from Matthias and the Pirates, Donald Williams on bass from Sinister Dane, Grover, Mo Eggeston, you know, all these monster players. Like, how can you, Lodell Parks on guitar, how can you say no to a project like that? So that was a Fishbone show at the Ready Room, and that was going on almost three years ago. And that, like, was a raging hit. Everybody thought it was a one-off deal. They came out in droves, had a great time. And that kind of piqued my mind. I'm like, oh, okay. Let's do this again, but with Bad Brains. And Mark Hertzberg put that show at Mad Art on down by Soulard.
Yeah.
On, and people showed up again. I was like, oh, okay. So I'm touching a nerve. Mm-hmm. Then I put together a Queen tribute band 6 months later. But I didn't want to do just a typical carbon copy of what Queen was with just the four members. So I blew it up, and I got rhythm guitar, and I got chorus members and huge production, you know, and that show went off and people really took to it. So now here we are almost two and a half years later, and people still want to see the Queen tribute, and I'm rolling out an REM tribute. Gosh.
Well, I think especially something like Queen, I think would be very popular because you can't get that anymore. You know, we can't obviously. Well, I know they had done some stuff with other guys, Paul Rogers and Adam Lambert and all these things, but like, you know, there's other, you know, stuff like that. But like, I think the peak, you know, same thing with we mentioned El Monster opening up the show, like. You're not getting a Pink Floyd show anymore, so like it's nice to have somebody doing these songs still because these people still love these songs.
They do. It's such a very personal experience, and I'm sure if you talk to the Celebration Day guys or the El Monstero guys, they'll look out in the crowd, see people singing, not even watching the band anymore. The production values are huge.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing shows, but these people are there because they love the tune. It evokes like a life memory. They want to go and have a great time listening to those songs.
Yeah.
And I want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. A lot of between the cover bands and the tributes, you've been the voice for a lot of these great songs, a lot of great artists you've been paying tribute to. Freddie's got, I mean, one of the greatest vocalists of all time.
I know.
Like, is that the hardest one to pull off, you think,
absolutely,
for yourself?
For me, absolutely. And a close second, I am discovering when I have to train. And what I do working with my vocal coach is I will get on a treadmill and I'll do brisk walking and go over my lyrics over and over and over and over again with the tunes in my ears and an iPad, you know, or my phone, and sing full voice to get the breath control, the gruff that they, some vocal coaches call it dysphonia, where Freddie Mercury had this ability to go from such a sweet, tender sound to a raging scream. It's tough to do.
Yeah, I can
imagine. In an hour and a half show covering 18 tunes, you get a full vocal spectrum. And it's a good thing that I do have my chorus members with me, because if I had to just rely on myself and the bass and drums and guitarist singing, boy, we would be in a world of hurt. But yeah.
Time. Good. Just like Marie Antoinette, I built in a remedy for Christopher Kennedy. At any time, an invitation you can deny. Caviar and cigarettes, well versed in etiquette. Extraordinarily nice, she's a killer queen. Gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Anytime I work hard,
he works hard
every day of my life. I work to like my bones at the end.
At the end of the day,
I take home my home and
all
of
all.
I get down on my knees and I start to pray till the tears run down from my eyes. Oh, somebody,
somebody,
oh, somebody.
It's a challenge. And then the Faith No More, Mr. Bungle tribute. Those vocals, Mike Patton is a monster singer. Monster singer. And I have neglected my metal inclinations. I think that a Black Sabbath tribute is on the horizon.
Okay.
I know that I'm going to be doing a Cars tribute in the near future, but yeah, you gotta have, you know, one, passion for the band, and two, doing it right. So many groups and cover bands, of course, we see around town that the intentions are there, they're all good, but the execution is lackluster. And with me, I'm keenly aware that if people get that impression at my shows, they won't come back. So,
Well, I mean, even myself personally, I've been to some other ship tribute shows in the past. There was some stuff going on. Anyway, I was given tickets. I was like, I'll go check it out. I like, you know, whatever the band was.
Yeah.
And then I didn't care for it at all. Like, just didn't do anything for me. And that kind of, that even, like, that moment, like, turned me off to going to see El Monstero, because I'm like, well, okay, well, I, you know, just to hear a tribute show and stuff.
Right.
And
is it indicative of how they're all going to be?
Right. No. So that's the thing. Like, when I finally I kept hearing all this stuff about how great El Monstero is. I finally went to go see it, and it blew my mind. And that's all. Like,
absolutely.
Then I came to realize, like, you know, there's obviously a huge, wide difference.
They're not created equal, yeah. The guys at the production staff at the pageant, Arch City Audiovisual, and Logic Systems.
Right.
Those three entities, along with Kevin Gagnepainen, the guys in El Monstero, like, that is a 9-10 month planning endeavor, I'm sure. That because the last show that I saw there a month or so back, two or three months back in wow, here it is March 3rd.
Yeah.
Man, time flies. That production was amazing.
Oh yeah,
amazing. Just the 9-panel video walls, high definition production with the intelligent lighting. And, wow.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Such a cool show.
It got me emotional at times. I was like, wow. I don't even know what's being played right now, but yeah. I love the show.
Well, I loved it, too. I've been going for a couple of years now, and like in that show particularly, there was a part where they went from like, you know, this big crazy thing to where they brought it down to like a fire pit. Sitting around playing a campfire.
Yeah.
And like that was such a cool moment. Like just kind of like stripped it down and just it went like that. And like it was really neat. So I love what they're able to do with those songs and stuff. But yeah, man, I mean, that's 20 years in the making, like we said. Like, I mean, you know, somebody loves what's 6 months old now or a year or whatever.
So. It is. Yeah, we're going on two years.
2 years. Okay. Yeah.
The one thing that I perceive, I'm not in their sphere of influence at all. You know, I know Kevin, you know, but I don't really know the rest of the members of the band. But El Monstero presents an outward appearance of still having fun doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going through the motions.
And yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it's all about. Like you say, and that's like, that translates, you know. Like,
it does.
Like you say, you can see it. I can see it. Like, if the band's having fun doing it, I'm going to have fun listening and enjoying it too. So, like, you can pick up on that tension, like, and it
kind of. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And it's the littlest thing, Shane.
All right.
Your battery in your guitar tuner has gone bad. And you think that you're out of tune. And so you'll be, for an hour on stage, you'll be like, oh, something's not quite right.
Yeah.
You could be totally sounding fine, but that one little thing gets in your head. The distractions, man. Anxiety creeps in, too, boy. Performers are a finicky bunch, boy. Jeez.
So you said... 120 Minutes is one of the bands you're also part of, and that's so they're the members that are doing the REM
correct
tribute, right?
120 Minutes. A year ago now, I joined up. I was contacted by the drummer from a band back in St. Louis in the 90s called Stillwater. They played Cicero's Basement Bar when it was what the Duck Room is now.
Right.
And my wife Tammy and I met in that basement bar, and Stillwater and MU330, we were friends, you know. Some members went to school together, but after all these years, Mike Rose sent me a message through Facebook. He's like, what are you doing? I have this idea. Come on down, check it out, see if you like it. And I wasn't really looking to join another cover band, and I didn't know it was an audition. Mike's like, come on down, hang out.
Yeah.
So I got that gig, and the guys asked me to join, and then Mike Rose came up with this idea. We could do a show as 120 minutes at the Duck Room. And I think we drew on that show 5-6 months back, like 200 people. The room was thrilled. The band was very happy. It was with another group, Miserable Now, the Smiths tribute. And there was an opener on the bill. The name escapes me currently. But I saw the potential moving it from Duck Room to Del Mar Hall. Same production team.
Right.
Yeah, same folks that run those pageant Del Mar Hall and Duck Room, booking-wise. And Mike's like, well, let's try an REM tribute. We could pull in the Smiths tribute band, bring in the Cure tribute band, and have us do REM. Sounds great to me, Mike. Reached out, Delmar Hall embraced it. They're like, yes, okay, here are the dates. Pick one.
Yeah.
And ticket sales have been through the roof, like so happy with how things have, over the last 2 weeks, we've sold massive amounts of tickets that totally surprised the heck out of me. I had no idea, you know, and it was just in a 2 week period, ticket sales went from 56 to 250 to 400 to, I mean, it's, we still have a week to go.
Right. That's so March 9th would be the night, Friday night, over at Delmar Hall in the Delmar Loop. So you can grab tickets at
Ticketmaster or at DelmarHall.com.
Yeah. So come on out and sing along with some R.E.M. and The Cure.
My wife Tammy and I are huge Cure fans. We're actually going to the 40th anniversary show July 7th at Hyde Park in London.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be a great time. But that shows you how big of a fan we are of The Cure. And I hear that The Cure band, they're calling themselves In Between Days. Like, they're doing all killer, no filler. All the hits. 15 tunes, boom, boom, boom. I'm probably going to be worn out by the time I hit the stage. No. But
yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah, man. What do you have a particular favorite REM tune that you enjoy singing with them?
We're doing 15 songs, and I am up for a good challenge. The biggest challenge for me has been It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Right.
Because Michael Stipe performing those lines live, he doesn't breathe. the lyrics come, they start, and they don't stop. And it's, I mean, the whole song.
Right.
I get a break on the chorus. It's the end of the... And I get to breathe then. But everything else, man, it's rapid fire.
I just started thinking about that scene in Tommy Boy when they start trying to sing. Like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
It's the end. Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the chorus.
There's a lot of lyrics there.
A lot of lyrics. Yeah. Nobody... and they make perfect sense, I'm sure, to Michael Stipe. But pretty random stuff being thrown in there in the verses.
Right.
Like Baffled Trump, Tethered Crop, you know, just thrown together all these words. I'm going to pull meaning out of it somehow, but
yeah. I heard on, I don't know if that's the case with him or not or what, but I did hear in an interview once with Steven Tyler on Howard Stern's show, he was saying how sometimes when he comes to writing the lyrics, like they've got like whatever the melody and things, and sometimes he'll just make up words that kind of fit along in there. Like they don't really necessarily make sense to what he's writing, but it fits inside the melody and it makes sense when he sings it. But you know, if you were to just read it, you know, probably doesn't always make sense. So
no, in those like syllabically. It works.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing about REM is, though, you have Peter Buck, who is also saying the same words in a third or a fifth above what Michael Stipe's saying. So they know the lyrics. I mean, there's a lot going on in that song. But we start the set with a song... well, we don't start the set. It's a second tune. It's called Just a Touch. And it's old school Deep Crate REM. So if you're a fan of the very beginning all the way through to the end of the catalog, you'll be happy with the show.
Yeah. I think that's always a cool thing. Like you're saying, like the hits are fun. But when you're a super fan and somebody throws in those deep cuts like that or something, like that's a really cool moment.
Swan, Swan, Hummingbird.
Yeah.
Is a tune that an REM fan can really get behind if they are a super REM fan. Everybody in that scene knows that song. Yeah. Yeah. And we're doing that one.
Nice.
Like that. That's a favorite for me to sing too.
Yeah. You mentioned Faith No More. Also, you'll be doing that show tribute.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be on Saturday, April 21st over at Pops.
Check this out.
Let's talk about this one.
It's a four-band bill starting with a Muse tribute, followed by a Foo Fighters tribute, then my Faith No More Mr. Bungle tribute, finished up with a Nine Inch Nails tribute. So it is a 90s alt rockers dream show.
Yeah.
And it's progressively getting more aggressive as the night goes on. Right. Jimmy Gunn, who fronts the Nine Inch Nails band, Somewhat Damaged is what they're called. And like they are authentic, very serious about their Nine Inch Nails. They are very serious and they do it really well. And I am so happy to be on that bill. Because Jimmy and I've done some studio work at Limp Brewery with him. And I just mentioned it to him, like, you know, we ought to do a show together. Like, you have a Nine Inch Nails tribute. I'll just come up with a tribute and we'll do something. I just want to do a show with you. And he's like, oh, okay. 6 months later, forgot about it, you know. And we finally came back around and he's like, you know, you got something there. Okay, let me reach out to Pops. And then it happened.
Yeah.
Brian Sullivan, the drummer in town that plays with me in my Queen tribute, he is a massive Faith No More Mr. Bungle fan. He was like, remember 2 or 3 years ago when we were talking at Bootleg? Like he was Atomic Cowboy. We were at the bar and we were talking about doing something together with Faith No More. I'm like, yeah, we should do it now. He said, okay, all right. Yeah, he is the principal member of that band. Brian Sullivan, man, he's a monster player.
Yeah. Are you guys going to do Easy?
That tune is not in the set this time.
Yeah. I just find that, I just think that would be funny to attribute of
a cover.
Doing a cover. You know, it's like,
right.
That's a mess with your mind right there. Like,
we do Faith No More through the years.
Yeah.
So from the first hit single, We Care A Lot, all the way up through Angel Dust, and we do two songs off of we do My Ass Is On Fire and Carousel from Mr. Bungle.
Yeah.
And Easy would be a great tune without a doubt, but it would put a lull in what is geared to be a very high energy,
for sure,
aggressive set.
Right.
Because once we start, like, it's nonstop. Brian, man, he's a taskmaster. He'll start and it goes. And that is, like, I've got nothing but love for that guy. I am, all due respect, Brian he's great.
Yeah.
But it's got to be a certain way and it's got to sound just right. And that's good for me as a performer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chan Evans on guitar, Bill Dierker on bass, Bailey Roberts, Mike Powers, Scott Ashby, and Shelby Carter from Boomtown United on horns. Great players.
Yeah, I love those guys, too.
Great players.
Yeah, man. Will you Pops Rocks
yes.
for tickets?
You can, or reach out to me or, you know, anybody, because they're all ages, free tickets.
Nice.
And we just want to get as many people there as we can.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. Yeah, I was just over there a bit ago for the Brook Royal show and had a really great time out there, Pops. And yeah, Rich Donald and the crew, they're all...
That was packed.
Yeah, it was good.
I saw pictures from that show.
Yeah, yeah. They.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was like 1,600 people or something packed it out and sold out the show, and it was awesome. It was all local Bill. It was just great to see people out supporting St. Louis rock and roll. So,
woo.
Yeah. So, yeah, grab tickets. Let Jason know if you need some. Bring the whole family. All
right.
Those. Yeah. And we got we did mention... Somebody to Love. You do have a summer date coming up on Saturday, June 16th. You guys bringing Somebody to Love over to Del Mar Hall.
Check this out.
Yeah.
The opener for that show is Saints in the City, which is a Bruce Springsteen tribute.
All right.
So we're going to be coupling with, it'll be Bruce and Queen. What a happy vibe.
Yeah.
The whole night. I mean, there's no shoegazing going on that night. Yeah. It's all flat out rock. Good times.
Yeah, that'd be fun, man.
Yeah, the guys in Saints of the City, that's comprised of Jeff Hall on drums, Mike Barton, who plays the role of Bruce on guitar, front in the band, Charlie Brown on keys. Great player, Charlie. He's also in my Tower of Power tribute band that's making our debut here in the next couple months at BB's.
Very
Jazz,
cool.
Blues, and Soups.
Yeah.
Dad, I know somebody whose name is Charlie Brown.
We all do. The Peanuts cartoon. Yeah. Or do you actually know a guy? Do you have a friend at school who's Charlie Brown? No? Okay, that's my daughter, Sophia. Sorry.
But guess what? I heard of somebody on a movie.
Oh, a movie. Okay. Okay.
But not Peanut.
Well, and again, you can grab tickets for that show at Delmore Hall box office or Ticketmaster.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So... But you can catch Jason all over town. We mentioned Retro Nerds, The Wackness, 120 Minutes, Jason Nelson Band. I mean, about 100 others, I think. So he's a busy man. Always moving.
It's got to be fun.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I do like to stay busy.
Well, I mean, you know, I think, like just like you're saying, having fun. I mean, I singing 90s songs with Retro Nerds or, you know, Queen or whatever. I mean, all these just sounds fun. I mean,
it
like,
it's,
you know, it whatever it is, like, it's just good times, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's about.
Shout out to my son, Jake. Jacob has put an original music band together called Frankie Valet. And they are comprised of two drummers, bass, and him on guitar. So, four-piece band. And they have been, over the last 8 months here in St. Louis, building their song list. They got asked to play at South by Southwest.
Oh, wow.
So they'll be playing at A Hole in the Wall is the venue down on March 13th in Austin. And he's doing really well with that. He's also the bass player in my Queen tribute.
Nice.
Somebody to
Love.
Really
cool.
Yeah.
That's got to be, I mean, yeah, that's got to feel really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Playing side by side with your son then.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's all Hollywood, man. That that group, like, we all, like, costumed out, man.
Yeah.
I got the mustache. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to channel my Freddy as best I can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, man, he's one of the best, that's for sure.
Like, true.
There's a guy, that, you see that video that kind of went viral? There was a young guy that, like, looks just like him, too, and
yes.
Sounds like him, like...
Pianist.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I forget, but
yep.
I just remember the voice, and I'm like, it was just kind of eerie how how much he even looked like him too. Like,
I know.
So
that was shot in a club in New York City. Correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. It was him at a baby grand piano.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Maybe the one I saw. Maybe it could be
could be the same guy even, but I think the one I saw was like, and it looked like it was in his living room or bedroom or something like that, like at his home or something. But
okay,
I, you know, maybe it's the same guy. I'm not sure, but
yeah.
Anyway, it was just, it's kind of creepy for me. Like, I mean, he nailed it. It was very good, but like, it was just like how eerie it was, like to see almost like a reincarnation of right. Freddy and stuff. So, but
shows the influence.
Yeah, definitely.
Through the years, the staying yeah. power.
But yeah, get involved in. I think what you got a Facebook page for all these, right?
I do.
Yeah, so you can get keep up to date with all the projects and come out to a live show. But yeah, Jason, this has been awesome, man. I appreciate you taking some time to hang, man. I'm excited for that Tower of Power coming soon too, man.
Right. Knowing that you're right down the street at the Oyster Bar, you can just pop up.
There you go.
Say hey.
Yeah.
Check out some tunes. The lineup for that band, you'll probably know these guys. Ron Carr is on drums. Phil Burton's on bass. Charlie Brown on keys. Ken Newton on guitar. Rob Endicott on trumpet. You know, just, again, very amazing instrumentalists.
Right.
Great players.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I... Maybe Black Sabbath, you said. Maybe there might be some other things in the works. So
Cars.
Yeah.
I want to do a Cars tribute this year, 2018's. Yeah. Filling up.
Is that like, I don't know. I just imagine that's kind of got to be like the, just such a cool feeling to be like, hey, I've always wanted to sing these songs. Like,
right.
Let's do it. Let's put a band together. And like,
cheesy little story, but it's who I was. I was the kid in the basement with two like box ghetto blasters.
Yeah.
One tape deck is playing the Cars album and the other tape deck is recording me singing over the recording. Yep. I was tracking
right.
vocals when I was 9 years old, you know, singing "Oh Candio," you know, it's so silly. I think my Aunt Michelle still has the tape somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so funny hearing this little kid trying to sing this baritone Rick Ocasek voice, you know. So funny.
Yeah. That, yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of gotten, it's gone from the tape to everybody just sings into their Snapchat now or their Instagram and thing. Everybody's got a phone, they record everything. And, but yeah, you had to get a little more creative back in the day.
Oh, yeah. That was even before 4-track recorders were accessible.
Right.
Those 4-tracks back when I was coming up was, I mean, those were like $400-$500 when they first came out. Put the cassette in the 4-tracks, been mixed down. a friend of mine, the guitar player from my old What Is band, Jake Dietering, who runs Red Pill Studios, he was a 4-track master, that guy. He could do amazing things with those 4-tracks. Yep. And bouncing everything down. And whew.
Yeah, man. Well, again, grab some tickets. Come out to a show. Come out and support live music. And sing along to all your favorite songs.
Yay!
Yeah, man. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks,
Shane. I'll see you soon, buddy.
It's great.
Yeah, man. Hey, everybody. This is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So, get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band, you want to get your records on the shelf over there, reach out and see how you can make that happen.
Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.